numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, and ladies and gentlemen, the return of Kelly Bidlin in the house. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing just fine, Gil. Just fine.
You're very
fine and dandy.
You're very unpredictable because we thought you'd be here Monday. Well, we didn't Monday, I don't think. Then we didn't think you'd be here. We did think you'd be here Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Thursday, and today we're like, he's definitely not coming in. He'll just wait till Monday, and here you are. Would you like to share with everybody your medical status?
I'm doing okay. I appreciate everybody covering for me and stuff. I'm still definitely not 100%, but didn't want to punt on the whole week, man. Had to come in here and talk some fun stuff.
What do you got? So, rickets? Okay. Scurvy? What do you got? Scurvy?
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Malaria?
I've been doing some traveling. Yeah, no, I've got a kidney infection right now I'm dealing with, so that's some fun stuff. Okay. And amongst who knows what else? I don't really know. Still waiting on some test results.
There might be some other leggery
stuff. Threw a bunch of antibiotics at me, and we're like, here, have some fun with this.
But you're here.
That's right.
Playing hurt. Appreciate it, man. Good to see you. Glad to have you back. People were worried about you. We're glad to see you. On today's show, Paul Carr will join us. He's got a Premier League pick as the Premier League season just got it underway last week. Going to continue with his picks today. I believe he only has one Premier League pick. He does have, and this again is a special numbers game investigation revealing that the Women's World Cup is concluding this weekend. It's still going on. Did you know that, Kelly? We have a third place game, and then we have the championship.
Earlier in the week, when I was helping plan out some guests and stuff for the show, I did have to. I had the thought on like Monday where I was like, "Is this over already?" And I just did, and I missed it. And I was like, "Oh no, we still have two more rounds to go." Never mind.
I would like to predict in advance what Paul Carr's third place gameplay will be. Because if I know Paul
Carr, Germany involved?
No, Germany is not involved. Because
that would be obvious.
No, that would have still been Germany will still win the championship. No, it's. Third place game, I believe historically, is always you always go over in third place games.
Oh, okay.
Which we used to call a consolation game in other sports and Olympics and that kind of thing.
See, you before. Have your Paul Carr Germany moments. I have one of my own now because it was one when you were out on vacation and JVT was filling in and Paul came in here in studio. You randomly missed him by a week for that.
Yeah.
And we were previewing the Women's World Cup, and you went with Germany. I just can't sat back here and started laughing. JVT didn't know why I was laughing. It's Paul Carr,
but
man.
But he's in on the joke, right? He's like, because of course I did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's in on the joke. So Paul Carr will join us. John Legesa joins us for Instant Offense. He's the microwave. He's the Vinny Johnson of this on Fridays. He'll come in and talk to us about his baseball plays of the days from The Athletic. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And Dr. Bob will be here today. Let me just clarify, though, because I know once I say that, people are like, oh, is this college football season win totals day? Because nothing has been as historically solid and accurate and profitable through the years as when Dr. Bob Stoll, comes on this show and gives his pre-flop college football season win totals. And when I say that, I'm talking like he comes on here and they go 7-0 kind of thing. He's like, well, Gil, if I'd given all of them, they would have gone 18-1, like that kind of thing. He's that good at it. This is not what he'll be here for today. He'll do that later this month. And I know the month is drawing to an end. So it will be either next week or the following week. Well, it'll be the next week probably because week zero will be upon us. So it'll be next week where he'll do the college football season win totals segment. Today, he's going to talk about how the clock not stopping in college football has sort of affected his handicapping. That's obviously a huge change in college football. Not the last 2 minutes of each half, but otherwise, that's the biggest change in college football. And I'm going to ask him, I know how Bob is with this. So I don't mean to predict the guest answers to this. But I'm going to, again, before this last year, they played four preseason games, right? And when they used to play four preseason games in football, he had this, we're not a trend show, but we would always make an exception for Dr. Bob's week two preseason trend. Were teams coming off a loss, we're playing teams that were coming off a win at a week one, and it had this unbelievable ATS record for teams in week two. Now, since it went to 3 weeks, it ain't the same. I've said this many times, because when it was 4 weeks, you could count on starters playing league-wide in week three, and then everybody would rest week four. There was a meter to everything, and coaches who lost in week one generally wanted to get a W in week two. It made intuitive sense. Now, where it's 3 weeks, it's all kind of bacchata. Have you missed me, Kelly, with words like that? It's just not the same meter from team to team. You don't know what teams' motivations are from week to week. Can we throw, by the way, the preseason ATS records for coaches if you're into this kind of thing again, even with the ATS loss for John Harbaugh last week, 24-1 in his last 24. Remember, they're 24-0, the Ravens are, in their last straight up 24 preseason games under John Harbaugh. They will take on the Commanders on Monday. Little beltway brawl. But Harbaugh still has the best ATS record in all preseason, 38-17-1. Sean McDermott, 13-5-1. Pete Carroll with another ATS win last week, 27-19-1. Frank Reich, 8-5-2. We have some of the worst ones, too. We have to add Kevin O'Connell's 0-4 lifetime ATS preseason. So we kind of threw him in. Maybe he's the anti-Harbaugh. We don't have enough a big enough sample size to determine. But I'm going to ask Bob, hey, did you happen, even though you decided not, you know, even though we decided this is not a trend from week one to week two, by the way, you see Andy Reid historically 33-38-1 ATS preseason.
He sucks.
he sucks.
Fire him.
Glad to have you back, Kelly. That's the kind of insight and analysis we're looking for. But I'm going to ask him, I said, with a 3-week arc now, do you care? Did you even check what it did last year? I'm going to guess he said, no, I didn't even check. And maybe I'll check on one of the breaks here. I just want to say this about the preseason game last night, because I mentioned on the show yesterday that your instinct ought to be to bet the Browns based on the quarterbacks playing. That kind of manifested. I ended up playing them ATS, but I played them more on the money line, and that's a brutal way for a money line not to get home. I mean, first drive of the game, they fumbled at the 2. It did result in a safety 2 plays later. They did get 2 points out of it, but they didn't get 7. So that was the first thing. And then Cade York with not one, but 2 shots at putting the Browns ahead within 2 minutes. I mean, inside the 2-minute warning. And the first one, you know, was a slice, golf term. And then the next one was a hook. And it just, the Browns end up holding on for the tie. This is now 3 preseasons, by the way, where there are no overtimes in preseason. The NFL finally got smart and like, we don't care. You guys can go for 2. You can go for the tie. We're not going to play an extra frame. So that got legislated out of preseason. So anyway, the biggest football takeaway from that yesterday, and I know you can't really read into preseason games. That is obviously typically a fool's errand. But for certain quarterbacks, I think things are football universal. And boy, oh boy, I don't know that the Eagles want Marcus Mariota to be their backup, because he, Kelly, looks awful.
Yeah. Yep.
He looks terrible. And Tanner McKee from Stanford really is outplaying him. This is 2 weeks running now. But, I mean, Mariota was missing wide-open receivers. He ended up 9 of 17 for 86 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times for a quarterback rating of 42.8. Remember, that scored out of 158.3. I mean, it's just keep Jalen Hurts upright if that's your dude who's going to be the backup quarterback. Remember Marcus Mariota, who casually left the Atlanta Falcons after he was demoted last year late for Desmond Ridder. He was like, yeah, I'm cool, I'm bouncing. Wasn't with the team the rest of the way, that last month or so of the season.
It's hard to imagine. What's kind of sad about that, too, is, I mean, I don't know how sad it is, but it's hard to imagine him getting another real chance after, if this flames out.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in backup purgatory probably forever, if even that. I mean, you're fighting for a backup job right now against a rookie. You can't even win out.
He also has a little bit, you know how we talked about, like, Jay Cutler face or Eli Manning face? Jay Cutler face being the biggest one.
Oh, that is such a good point.
There's a little bit of that creeping in with Mariota.
I think you could pick up on that when you watch the Netflix doc.
Oh, true.
Like, when you're going to, like, yeah. Does this guy? I can't tell if this guy really cares that much or not. Like, what's going on?
The thought occurs to me. That's all. Thought exercise before we go to break here. This is from Cleve TA. Great Twitter follow on the old X machine, now we have to call it. But Cleve, who's been on the Megapod, by the way, the first Megapod is coming up the Thursday before week one of the NFL season. Todd Wishnev, Jeff Parles, and I with rotating guests all year long. Cleve TA was kind enough to come on the show last year, but he put this out a couple days ago. He goes, there's been at least one team to make the NFL playoffs with a preseason win total of below 500 in each year since 2000. 19 of those 23 years, at least 2 made it with a preseason win total of less than 500. In other words, in 16-game seasons, less than 8. In 17-game seasons, less than 8.5. Last year, three teams made it: Jacksonville, the Giants, and the Seahawks. Now, the teams currently expected to finish with a season win total that would have them less than 500 win percentage: Arizona, Carolina, Chicago, Green Bay, Houston, Indianapolis, the Rams, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Giants, the Bucks, the Titans, and Washington. Kelly, let's do this one by one. Forget about the three last year, but 19 of the last 23 years have had at least two make it. Let me do this one by one. You shout out if you think they're making it or not. Arizona.
No.
No, I agree. Carolina.
Maybe.
No. I say no. Chicago.
No.
No, I'm with you. I don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Green Bay.
Maybe.
Yes. I'll give them okay. Green Bay. Houston.
No.
No. Indianapolis.
No.
No. Rams.
No.
No. I'm trying to get as close to your no as possible. Raiders.
No.
No. We're children. Patriots.
No.
No, I don't think so either. Giants.
Yes.
Oh, I say no. Tampa Bay.
No.
No. Tennessee.
No.
I don't think so either. And then Washington.
Probably.
Maybe. Oh, you got probably.
I'm going probably.
Yes. So based on that, we think it is likely that two do get in. We agree. Well, we didn't agree on Green Bay. Did we agree on Green Bay?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. I got Green Bay and maybe Washington. And you have?
I would say Green Bay and maybe Carolina.
It's an interesting thought exercise from Cleve TA. Because all this talk before the preseason, like we said, there are so many things none of us know.
Totally.
19 of the last 23 years with pre-flop season win total below 500. Coming back with Paul Carr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen back in the fold. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eric Biggio, who's our buddy from Will Hill. New app at Will Hill, Kelly. You checked it out yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So it looks similar to Caesars, but there's different stuff in there.
Really? Okay.
Well, I just say on a given day in tennis, like sometimes the Will Hill app has them and Caesars doesn't, for instance.
Interesting. Okay.
Eric Biggio says they're dipping their feet into the MLB daily strikeout leader pool.
Okay. All right. I like
Look at that.
We will take all and any new markets here in Vegas.
Yes, we will. He's got Spencer Strider as the short shot to be that leader today at plus 250, just to let you know. That's bettable. Thank you, Eric. This is from Jason H11. Gil, I'm so happy to see Kelly back. Can you hold that resume I sent you for the next producer just in case? Thanks. Asian Lebowski. Gil currently naming medical conditions that Kelly might have as if he took a small hiatus from the show to become a pirate. What did I say? Rickets,
yep.
Scurvy,
yeah, like scurvy,
malaria.
There, yep.
Perhaps it was an imbalance of your bodily bile's that created this problem.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Jamie Leva or Jaime Leva. I think it's Jamie Leva. Kelly Bidlin is back. Gil, good to see the boys back together just in time for the weekend. Lay low this weekend, Mr. Bidlin. Listeners' orders. Have a great weekend, gentlemen. You too, man. And then Mike Rouse, Gil going public enemy is what I needed on a Friday morning. I knew someone would catch that.
Oh, I totally missed it.
Don't believe the hype.
Mm.
Public enemy, back in the day. Greatest hip-hop group of all time. I will not debate this issue. Will not debate it. Real quick before we get to Paul Carr, because some people obviously love betting preseason football, with the exception of, again, last night, having the Ravens as part of a money line parlay booster because of their preseason record over time, 24-0 straight up in John Harbaugh's last 24 games. I expect it to be 25 at FedEx Field on Monday. But some people just want to know some notes from preseason games. Panthers at the Giants. Bryce Young expected to start his second preseason game in that one. Giants kind of noncommittal. Brian Daboll on Daniel Jones. Noncommittal. Some reports say yes, some reports say no. Jacksonville at Detroit. Lions will not play their starters. Dan Campbell said, quote, "I don't see us playing starters." Hedging just a little bit. Speaking of hedging, Miami at Houston. Mike McDaniel for the Dolphins. Quote, I'd expect Tua to play this preseason, but I'm a wild card. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
C.J. Stroud will start for the Texans. He's got to right the ship from last week. Bills Steelers. Bills head coach Sean McDermott said quarterback Josh Allen and the starters will play about a quarter and a half tomorrow's game against the Steelers. Quarter and a half. And Mike Tomlin for the Steelers said starters will play. He did not say how long they will be out there for. Bears at Indy. Justin Fields will sit along with selected Bears starters. So Eberflus is like, nah, not this week. They're not playing. Indianapolis, anyone with Anthony Richardson as QB1 now? That might be an interesting angle, at least first half. Chiefs at Arizona, head coach Andy Reid saying the Chiefs starters, including Patrick Mahomes, will play the first half of their game against the Cardinals.
What?
Yeah. Reid expects Mahomes and some others to probably play, I don't know what it says there.
But you mean first Mahomes half. And Josh Allen playing over a quarter and a half of preseason.
That's
football.
Correct.
Cool.
Got That's
it.
Correct.
Understood.
Which is kind of then week two then is serving as sort of the week three from yesteryear, which is they'll probably play that this week and then you'll never see him again.
There are so many useful things about the preseason and so many useless things.
Yes.
Like I don't need to see Justin Tucker out there running through 30-yard field goals like every time, every game, just
that,
because you don't have another kicker to try.
But
out.
That was the point I made about the Ravens last week, which is again why you have them, which is there were 10 and a half minutes left in that game. They were up 5. It was a 4th and 2. Typically in preseason, 31 other teams, pardon me, it's football, 31 other teams go for the 4th and 2. Not the Ravens. They want to win these. They're like, go out there, Justin Tucker. And lastly, 49ers at Denver, not official yet, but quarterback Sam Darnold will likely start. Although we're hearing some Brock Purdy reports, too. So, again, conflicting. Trey Lance, who started last week's game, is expected to be the backup in this one.
Give Darnold to start because he's never going to see the field again this whole season. I'm so sick of hearing about this all offseason.
All those reports are like, oh, Sam Darnold is really good.
Watch out!
I was like, have you all watched a real game? Let's bring in Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen. Not just our football, but the global football, the beautiful game. He comes to us to talk Women's World Cup and Premier League. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I'm glad to get love the World Cup, and I love the Premier League, and I don't like when they overlap, so we're going to get things straightened out, get done with it this weekend.
Can I ask you a question? This is just me and you talking. Nobody's listening. But do you ever remember an event like this where the interest level, and I'm talking betting too, has fallen off a cliff like this?
No, I mean, it's hard when it's so U.S.-centric. I remember in 2011... I was working the Women's World Cup for ESPN. It was in Germany, and it was the same kind of thing where this was when the U.S. beat Brazil in the quarters, but Wambach had to score that goal at the very end, and we were all just like, are we just going to go home if they lose? Because you just know the interest is not as much there for every single team in the United States. And, yeah, between that and the time zone, it's just
the
a killer.
Zones. The time zone.
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like me, I'm a huge fan. I haven't gotten up at 2 a.m., 4 a.m. to watch very many games. And if I'm not doing it, you're definitely not bringing in, you know, the casual fan in the U.S.
Fox did send a whole bunch of people back after the U.S. lost. They did. It's just a financial decision for them.
Yeah, and I think they were going to before, like, not unusual, like after the quarters or so, once the schedule slows down to do that. But, yeah, the U.S. losing may have accelerated that a little bit, too.
All right. Third place game, Saturday. The home team, Australia, against Sweden. What you got?
So, this is almost a blind bet for third place games. Like, the over hits
nailed it.
Generally just a lot of the time.
Yeah.
If the price isn't ridiculous. So, here, I already forgot what I played at. I think it was like minus 110, minus 115 range, over 2.5 goals. The third-place games, they kind of tend to go how you think they're going to go, where the teams are a little bit looser, they don't have as much to play for. It still matters somewhat, but they're not as tight as they are in a final or a different kind of knockout game. Three of the last four have gone over 3 goals or had at least 3 goals in the Women's World Cup. It's a much higher ratio on the men's side. And both these teams, neither one's like super great defensively. I mean, Sweden has kind of the reputation of keeping it tight defensively, but they've given up a lot of shots and a lot of expected goals in this tournament. I think it's 5 out of 6 with at least 2.5 expected goals on the whole. So just look for goals. Australia has Sam Kerr back. She's maybe the best forward in the world. She scored in the semifinal. So there's going to be goals here, I think, one way or the other. So over 2.5 -115 was the price I got it at.
Paul Carr, Senior Director of Content at True Media Sports, the host of the Expected Value podcast, with a Paul Carr staple over at a third place game. I like it.
Yep.
What about the championship between Spain and England?
This should be a good one. And I mean, it's, you can tell just looking at the lines, you know, it's roughly like Spain 165 to win in regulation, England plus 185. Just to lift the trophy, you know, both are just slightly juiced, like minus 115, minus 105 or so in that range. So, and I mean, it's that kind of game. You know, Spain has had a lot more of the ball. They haven't been as clinical finishing, which has kind of been their curse over the last, you know, couple years, really. England won Euros last year. They have the best coach in the world, Serena Wiegmann, who just seems to figure things out, with, you know, moving players in and out of the lineup. But I lean England in this one. You know, the prices are you know, surprise, pretty accurate. But I like England in regulation at plus 185. Just think they can beat you a few more different ways. You know, if Spain has more of the ball, England's okay, you know, count defending and countering a little bit. England has the ball, they're obviously fine with that too and are comfortable with it. So I think there's a little better, especially in front of goal, have a few more ways to beat you. And again, even if they don't have the ball, they're comfortable and they can play that way. So yeah, I go with them to win in regulation at plus 185.
Plus 185 from Paul Carr going with England. Okay, you have one Premier League pick. First, give me 30 seconds on one game into the Premier League season. Was there anything where you were just, you were like, oh, that's something I need to keep an eye on?
You know, the first weekend was pretty according to form. I mean, Man City rolled. Arsenal was pretty comfortable. Liverpool and Chelsea both looked really good and had serious flaws at times in that game playing each other. So I don't know that we learned a whole lot yet from just one weekend.
All right, what's your Premier League pick week two here? What do you got?
All right, I'm going over 2.5 in Aston Villa Everton. This game is on Sunday. I think you get a pretty decent price on this. I got it at minus 110. No, the two teams combined to score one goal on the first weekend, which I think plays into the price a little bit. But, you know, Villa had 16 shots and closer to expected goals against Newcastle. They only scored once. Everton had 19 shots, 2.7 expected goals against Fulham, but did not score and actually lost 1-0. Both these teams have decent attacks, I think, or decent attackers, at least. Everton, they have Dominic Calvert-Lewin back. He's probably their best attacker. So I think we're going to see goals one way or the other in this game. Just the nature of both teams, the talent they have on the field, and the way it looks like through, you know, one game, of course, that they're going to play this season. So
Paul,
over 2.5, minus 110.
Appreciate it as always, man. I'll be looking for that over in the third place game as well. Thank you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too. Paul Carr, at Paul Carr on Twitter. NBA season wins are out. Let's give Kelly a crack at him next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl. For only $199, sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. I watched every play of that tie yesterday. I know, don't judge me. Between Cleveland and Philly, the standout star of that game, we talked about how bad Mariota was, but this kid, Austin Watkins, was wide receiver for the Browns, did whatever he wanted to do at a UAB, had a cup of coffee with the Niners and the Bucks. I don't know if he's going to end up on the Browns roster, but he's going to end up on somebody's. He was outstanding yesterday. 7 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. And the other sort of under-the-radar sports event last night that was pretty huge was the Aces and the Liberty in the WNBA. Those two teams appear to be on a collision course for the WNBA Finals, though our buddy Lou Finicaro tells us he's betting on the Mystics, getting all their players back, their key players back, including Deladon back. But the Aces, who had gotten stomped by the Liberty the last two games, they come back and put it on the Liberty. 88-75 was the final. They covered the 7-point spread. Though I will say this, there was a moment in the second half early where once again you were like, uh-oh, here we go again. Here come the Liberty. But the Aces do get it done. Betting them after a loss this season has been a pretty flawless strategy so far this season.
Which means it's covered every single time.
Every single time.
I bet it three times.
They only have a handful of losses. Yeah, not even, right. But that was, by the way, Sabrina Ionescu looking for her shoes. Someone stole her shoes, she says, and her insoles. She says, just bring my insoles back, please. So if you're listening and you stole Sabrina's insoles, please give it back to her. It's my plea to you.
I missed the insole part of that.
That was a bit. She don't care about the shoes as much as she cares about the insoles. Apparently,
well, those must be like real high-tech special or something like
custom
that.
Custom made, for sure. Before we get to your NBA thoughts, let's go back to that Cleve TA thing, because you felt unsatisfied by your answers. Is that a good assessment?
Yeah, well, we had to rush through, and we had to pick only two to make the playoffs, right?
Well, that's the exercise.
Right, yeah. We were kind of rushing through them, like, which ones do we think?
You've decided what your two teams are.
My two teams from that list would be Carolina and Green Bay.
Let's recap this for folks. So Cleve TA, great, great follow on Twitter, great NFL guy. Has done very well in contests through the years as well.
Oh, and he's got his guide out now, too. Free guide.
Does he really?
Access.
Oh,
it's incredible. I read through about 3/4 of it while I was on vacation. Really good stuff.
Is that right? I did not know that.
It is awesome.
So he put out this tweet. There's been at least one team to make the NFL playoffs with a preseason win total of below 500. So in other words, a team that in a 16-game schedule had 7.5 or less wins in a pre-flop season win total, and a 17-game schedule less than 8.5, so 8 or less. In each year since 2000, one team of that subset has made it. 19 of the last 23 years, at least two of those teams have made it with those pre-flop season win totals. Last year, by the way, three teams made it: Jacksonville, the Giants, and Seattle. So we just decided his thought exercise here is teams currently expected to finish below 500, and there is a group of 13 of them out of the 32 NFL teams. Can we come up with two? If the 19 of 23 year trend is going to continue, and it's going to be 20 of 24, what are the two teams? And I came up with, yes, I think it's Green Bay, and I went Washington, Homer. What did you end up
with? I'm going Carolina and Green Bay.
Carolina
and Green Bay.
So that means you think Carolina is probably winning the NFC South? Is that
probably.
What
probably. I think they have a good chance.
Wow.
I think they have a good chance, yes. I think that, I mean, if we're going, you know, this exercise, right? I mean, immediately cross off every AFC team for me.
Yeah.
What are the two you can make the best argument for? Yeah. Tennessee, New England. Like, that's it. Those are the two you could make the best argument for. I'm extremely down on both of those teams this year. I know others feel differently about New England. I'm just not as high on them. So I got to look NFC when I'm looking here, which is much more wide open. We know that. I think the Giants and Washington, I think they're both solid choices here. I think they could have a chance. But I'm going to go Carolina. I'm going to go Green Bay.
Okay. If I came to you and I said, well, it wasn't the 19 of 23. It was the 23 of 23 that one made it. Who's the one?
Who's the one?
Don't say Carolina. Don't do it.
Green Bay.
Okay. Yeah, that's mine too. Green Bay. Okay. NBA. So Nick Whalen from RotoWire was on with us earlier this week, and we had a chance to sort of give a first stab at NBA season win totals, which are available at DraftKings. They range from the Denver Nuggets 54.5 all the way down to the Washington Wizards, and they're 24.5. And Kelly is a big NBA guy. Kelly is the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with JVT, available where all podcasts are distributed. You came up with 8 that you actually like. Can we start at the bottom with the Wizards? You like that?
No, these are ones that I like. These are just, so we had the NBA schedule release yesterday. These are some of the biggest moving.
Oh,
numbers.
The biggest movers. I thought these were ones you like.
I've got a few I like in that, I bet.
Okay.
But I wanted to point out the NBA schedule release is not a big thing, obviously, for betting markets. Win totals have been up for a little bit. You know, you basically know everybody you're going to play already. It's an NBA regular season schedule. But I just wanted to dive in. I took the time last night, this morning, just wanted to dive in and see how much, if any, some of these had really moved. And, you know, there are a couple teams where they've moved a couple wins. Pacers and Raptors are those two teams.
Pacers 2 up, Raptors 2 down.
Yep, 2 up, 2 down. And then you've got a bunch that have moved like one game. So just wanted to point out some of the outliers that we're seeing kind of in the market right now. And it's Raptors bet heavily under and Pacers bet heavily over. I understand both of those. One of those I have bet.
Which did you bet?
Raptors. Raptors I did bet under. Bet them under 37.5. That moved off 38.5 real quick when these opened up. I made all my bets pretty much when they opened. We talked about them a bit. Maybe you weren't here one day when we talked about some of the win total bets. But yeah, I bet them under. I bet the Bulls under, and I bet the Cleveland Cavaliers over 50.5. So those are my favorite ones right now. That are out there. You can get 49.5, 50.5 on the Cavs. I think right now at DraftKings it is 49.5 juiced really heavily over on the Cavs. So if you want to mess around with the juice, you can.
Wait, let's talk about that for a little bit. Yeah. So if you're that bullish on Cleveland, I think JVT is as well. So again, that's a Celtics, Bucks, Sixers top heavy Eastern Conference. But if you're going over 50.5. It sounds like you think that that top three could be pierced, if you will.
Yeah, I think that all three of those teams have some slight issues coming into this season. I don't think they look like the three teams that we thought they were heading into last season by any means. I think the Bucks have some flaws that we saw during last season flare up. The Celtics, I think everybody's really interested to see how this Porzingis thing is going to work out, and losing Marcus Smart and Grant Williams, and how all that's going to work out. I think people are overreacting to the depth issues. I actually think Kristaps Porzingis could add. I think he could make them more dangerous once the playoffs comes around. But there are going to be depth issues. I think regular season it might not be as successful for them. And then we'll get to it probably later in the show. But we got all kinds of James Harden issues in Philadelphia, and I don't really know. Like, we could see that one. I think we could see that one snowball quickly, Gil. Like, that turns into a James Harden issue. That might turn into a Joel Embiid issue with the team.
Yep.
And that is the last thing Philadelphia can have on their hands, because there are teams out there, cough, cough, Knicks, that are just waiting for someone for the Sixers to drop the ball with Joel Embiid.
Yeah, the drama of James Harden, man. Year after year, not
it's
even
crazy.
Year after year, but like biannual.
It's crazy. And like, real quick, going back to the Cavs, like the Cavs are a team. We're talking about this as a win total under the amount of wins that they got to last year, and this team got better in the offseason. You went out and added Max Strus. This is a team that is still very young, that is growing with great players both down low, with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and you've got an all-time great, I mean, not all-time, you have a great scorer in the NBA right now in Donovan Mitchell. There's not really much that I see this team moving backwards from. As long as they can stay relatively healthy, you know, throughout the season, I think this is a very realistic number they can go over.
How do you explain their flame out in the playoffs against the Knicks? Just that they weren't gelled enough, they hadn't played together long enough? Not to counter that.
That's just to say, as a guy who lost a lot of money on that series, yeah. I guess I can't fully explain it.
Because they lost in five. They got
rolled. It was bad, and it was one of those kind of unexplainable things. I mean, they were, from my standpoint, yes, I think there's a lot of what you just said that probably went into that. Still some youth. They didn't completely gel together. And, you know, coaching, I think in a series like that, coaching comes into play, and they just weren't ready to go.
Steve Fezzik has texted in, Monday Night Football preseason, wrong team favored. Baltimore is favored. He says Baltimore is not playing the starters. Washington is. Baltimore 24-0, last 24. They will be 24-1.
Whoa!
On Tuesday, he says Washington should be favored.
Fezzik from the top rope!
Fezzik from the top rope. For sure. I'll be in D.C. Should I go to that? My mom will get scared if she's alone. Maybe I can't. We'll come back. John Legace on baseball. His plays next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
You can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game, and if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back and bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. New and existing customer offer. opt-in is required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in D.C., Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets. At Beating the Book, always appreciate the feedback. Once again, Elvis Toast Patterson fan. Gilly, good call on the Browns. I'm shocked you had more money on the money line than ATS. Glad you're back, Kelly. The best cure for what you got is eggnog. LOL. Have a good weekend. Kelly still has not done the eggnog challenge. Matt Brown is
drinking from the first time.
Matt Brown has still not done the field goal challenge. Posers. Table Max. As a Bad Boys era Piston fan, thank you for the microwave reference, Gil. Now I'll be listening to the final countdown during every one of your breaks this morning. That's awesome. Ryan Hyatt, Ryan Hyatt Media, former silent producer of Primetime Action. We now know it takes Veasan 4 days or so to use AI to create fake Kelly Bidlin. Gil, good job interacting with computer-generated Kelly like the pro you are. Trust the glove.
That's fantastic.
My best to Kelly Bidlin's kidneys have no idea what the hip or the hop is. Always learning on your show. Okay. This is from, Jamie Levitt chimed in again. He goes, the people need the a R&B megapod or any musical genre megapod starting with hip-hop, and I want it. Okay, we'll work on that. Corbin. Could you imagine if I started doing a music megapod? Corbin. Definitely would have put the odds on Kelly coming in on Friday after the week off at around 6 or 7 to 1. Huge upset this morning to start the day. Happy to have you back and that you're feeling a little better. Curious if you have any plays today. Mr. Tennis Guru. I've not been a Mr. Tennis Guru. I've been a CLV guru. They don't come home 50 cents, 40 cents. Doesn't matter. Though we did have a winner on Mukova yesterday. Nice job over Maria Sakkari. I don't, and I'll tell you why. This is a really weird tournament this year, Cincinnati. It's the tournament before. It's a 1,000 tournament, both on the men's and the women's side. The tournament before the U.S. Open, which starts towards the end of this month. And typically, there's multiple plays a day. But the way that this tournament has shaken out, the lines are such that they're huge favorites. Like today's the quarterfinals on both sides. Everybody's a monster favorite, and everybody's kind of justified, quite frankly, in my opinion, as a monster favorite. So there is no play today, and that's just the way this tournament this year has shaken out. So it's just a weird thing. I also think some of these players, there's been a lot of wind. There was rain yesterday, but more than that, one of the players said in this tournament in Cincinnati, it's very difficult to play good tennis. It's like the courts are greasier than a normal hard court. So it's a little funky tournament. So no plays today. But thank you for asking. Let's get John Legesa in here. We always love the instant offense from John. He's an MLB and NFL writer who plies his trade at The Athletic, host of the Call to the Pen show on the Hammer Betting Network. He joins us now straight from the Yankees outfield bleachers. How you doing, man?
Gil, what's up? Speaking of greasy...
Greasy John Legesa. Hey, John, what happened to your forehead? Let's not act like there's not a Band-Aid there. What's going on?
When you introduce your four-year-old to wrestling, there's a non-zero chance you get the business end of a frog splash, and I'm not going to... Stop. Usually it's the children you have to tell not to wrestle around the sharp edges of tables and beds.
Yeah.
But some of us children are bigger than others.
How does your four-year-old look?
Badly bruised knuckles.
Wow. Okay. Just curious. Just curious if we had to call any authorities, John. We're just trying to do the...
No.
Okay. Just making sure. All right. Baseball. Quarter pole. Roughly 40 games left. A little less in some cases.
Yep.
Where do you stand? Let's just start with your Yankees for a second. Where do you stand? Like, this is not going to happen, right? They're not getting to the postseason. It's over.
No. However, in their defense, and again, you know I'm the furthest thing from a Yankee apologist.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, we were right here last year screaming about the Jordan Montgomery trade and how that would absolutely come back to bite them. Wouldn't the Yankees kill to have an inning eating left-handed SP3 right now? Wouldn't that be grand? So we knew it. It was poorly executed. But in their defense, they're really suffering from the change in schedule, I think. Right. You flattened out the schedule, but kept the divisions. And the AL East is beating people up. And, you know, not to use a bad excuse, but if you put the Yankees, airdrop them in another division, they could be at the top of some of them. And instead, they're a last place team. And, like, there's a little bit of incongruency there, right? Again, I'm not trying to apologize to them. I'm not even sure I feel that they're necessarily a playoff team. But now people are dogpiling the last place Yankees. And even 5 or 6 games over 500, we shouldn't be, you know, kicking you when you're down, I think.
So you're suggesting they would be in first place in both the AL and NL Central? Was that your topic sentence there?
I don't, again, Central, yes. Out West, maybe not. You know what I mean? Again, I'm not trying to put the Yankees
Astros. They're not leading either of those.
They're not the Astros. Yeah. And again, right, that's what I mean. The Yankees are not the Astros. But they're also, they're better than the Guardians. They're better than, I think they're better than the Twins. I mean, I like the Twins starting pitching, but I think it's really close. Again, we have to be talking about a Yankee team that has a healthy Aaron Judge, right? They're just coming off a down wave, missing a foundational piece.
Right.
What are you going to get with Carlos Rodon? He's trying to come back for the 19th time this year. If he's finally effective, Cole and Rodon with a healthy Judge is a bit of a different Yankee team on its face than what we've seen.
Just think about how low we've sunk on that, right? A team that.
Yeah, agree. The defense, the bullpen's been excellent.
Yes.
And
that's
for some of the
suit.
Teams, yeah, for some of the teams in this league, we've seen what that means, having a poor bullpen. You know, and it just destroys games. Right now, the Red Sox probably, they must have dropped 6 or 7 games the past couple of weeks on the bullpen's back alone. So it's ups and downs. The divisional stuff hurt them, I think. I don't even know the answer.
Yeah, I just want to make the point that, a franchise that used to exceed the cap and pay a luxury tax and now it doesn't exceed it, but still pins, at the top of it. The fact that we even have to say the sense, well, if they were in a different division, right, they'd still be okay.
What about the inaction at the trade deadline? Doesn't that speak more to your point about what's now the facade of the evil empire? Man, I had that shirt when it was cool. Got to be talking nearly 20 years ago at this point when the Red Sox rivalry was hot. I was going to every single one of those games, and it's a totally different call for them. But people still refer to them in that manner, and that's a different outlook. Jake Bowers getting meaningful at bats.
Well, that's right. Jake Bowers leading off so many games, right? The back of that lineup.
Willie Calhoun cleaning up for the Yankees at points, yeah.
Well, the fact that none of that has been rectified is the biggest malpractice. What would you put Cashman's return back? Give me a betting line next year.
Oh, he'll be back up
-9,000.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, should he be back?
No.
Would I bring him back?
Yeah.
No, but again, I don't want to drag this guy. He's not terrible. He put together a legitimate dynasty that we've spoken about for a very long time. That being said,
I don't want to make it sports talk radio, but like, that doesn't make you great. If you have unlimited spending and you can win a championship, it's not the same. Like I said the other day.
Yeah, it's like calling JP Morgan the best trader on the floor when you've got 63 trillion in backing.
If you put Farhan Zaidi in a Yankees front office, you'd win 47 championships in a row.
Give
That's
me
my
the over on win total.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do you like today?
All right. Let's make a little bit of money for everybody. This one, again, it's funny. It kind of goes into what you were mentioning, where we're at a point in the season where things start to change. Some teams have surrendered. Some teams are waving the white flag. And it's okay to attack that, in particular when you get a team with a big edge, what I like to call a three-phase edge, right? Starting pitching, hitting, and bullpen, which is what the Twins have over the Pirates today. So when you can get the run line of baseball near even money, it might have moved a few cents, so you might get -110, -115, but that's totally viable. And again, it's Andre Jackson on the bump for the Pirates. It's a small set, but he's really not been great. 5.5 ERA, the OPS near 800. I mean, he doesn't get in front of people. He doesn't induce chases. He misses a ton and has surrendered 2 home runs per 9 going up against the Twins and Pablo Lopez, who, people get these narratives stuck. Remember when he couldn't throw 100 innings? Well, I got news for you. He's up to 150, and he's dominating right now. 3.6 ERA, 1 flat whip, a 30% K rate. That's a 24 K minus BB. His ball rate, which I've been using over walk rate, down at 32%. Really phenomenal control, just doing everything you asked for. Sub 700 OPS allowed at home, 3 ERA last 30 days. He's been excellent. And the offense has the definitive edge over the Pirates as well. Minnesota kind of getting up off the mat. Really, we've seen this. Teams trying to figure out their power. And what they've realized, Gil, the answer is you kind of sell out for it. And we've seen it from the Twins. 41% pull rate, 43 hard hit, 12% barrel equals what? Runs. And then the bullpen. I know it was scuffled last 2 weeks, but I think when the Twins hand the ball to Griffin Jacks and Joanne Duran, they're going to be just fine. So give me the Twins to cover the 1.5, even money. I expect this one to move at least. You mentioned CLV before. I think we're going to get at least 30 cents by first pitch.
All right. Home team run line play for John Legace on the Twinkies. That's your only play of the day, right? That's your one play.
I have a couple. I like the Royals in the F5. That one's early. I didn't know how much time we were going to have. Cole Reagans is on the bump. He hasn't really gotten the love he deserves since getting stretched out and moved. He's got strikeout stuff. His strikeout props at 5.5 at plus money. I like that. And I like the +115 Royals at 5 if you're, if you're into that kind of thing.
All right, John. Hope you heal. Hope the forehead heals quick. John.
Thanks so much, man. I missed you, man. It was so good to hook up.
Missed you too. John Legace, everybody, from The Athletic. And, of course, the Call to the Pen show on the Hammer Betting Network. We appreciate it, as always. Dr. Bob on the other side. Always enjoy that. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.